Greetings, this is Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach, and this episode is brought to you by To Empower You, a podcast dedicated to helping young adults and young couples achieve their goals and dreams from a biblical context. Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of To Empower You. I am your host, Thomas A. DeLoach, and no matter where you are, I appreciate you taking this time to listen to my show today. And on today's show, I want to talk about Man, Where Are You? That's my subject matter, and I want to dedicate this episode to all of the young adult men from ages 18 to 30. And I want to help you find your place in God. And the scripture has a lot to say about this. So I think this show is going to bless you a great deal. I also want to take a moment and give a quick shout out to all the men everywhere who are stepping up and stepping out to be that male influence to your children, to the community, to your church, to your home, to your wives, to those that are in your life that you love and care for. We appreciate your hard work and everything that you are doing to make this world a better one. You know as well as I do that there is a dearth in the land for leadership, and I do believe it starts in the home. And if we can transform our homes into a place that can be encouraging and empowering, we can have a great family structure, a great world. Because we know that there are a lot of men that are not stepping up. They're not doing what they should do. They're not taking control of certain things in their lives. And children are left without a father. The women in our lives are left without husbands. And so we got to speak truth to power, man. It's getting late in the evening and the sun is going down. So I do believe now more than ever, we just need the godly men, men who really understand their purpose and assignment, and those that really have a connection to the Spirit of God, of what He really desires for us to be. Also, let me say this, if you are a lady listening to me today, I want you to pray for the husbands in your life, maybe your boyfriend, your sons, pray for them. They need a prayer warrior that will pray and encourage them and help them to see through the power of prayer the importance of men everywhere getting in their place. So I want to give you that charge today, ladies. Pray for the men in your life, the sons. Keep praying for them. They keep messing up. That's okay. Keep praying and encouraging them and pushing them and helping them to be that man that God knows that they can be and that you know that they can be. All right. Let's go. So in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 is where I'm going to start today. And if you can take some copious notes, my brothers, I think it'll be important for you to do so. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." You might want to underscore that. I found none. I'm going to read that to you again in Ezekiel 22, 30. "And I sought for a man among them." So God was looking for somebody. He was looking for a man that should make up the hedge, that hedge of protection, that hedge of defense, and stand in the gap before me for the land, so the land wouldn't be destroyed or taken over by the enemy, that I should not destroy it or even do away with it. But as the Lord was looking, he says emphatically, "But I found none." This is very troubling to me. What was said then, in my opinion, is still being said today. God is still looking for men who will make up the hedge and stand in the gap for our world, for our families, for people who are in trouble. They don't know what to do. God is looking for that man to be that voice, that beacon light that can do something about the world situation. I think it's important for us to understand that God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden. So this word Eden is a difficult word to understand in the Hebrew language because it's not referring to a garden with trees. but it's referring to order. Now, that's profound in and of itself. It's referring to order. So Eden means spot or delightful or open door. Now, the great late Miles Monroe once said, it's a spot on the earth where God has an open door from heaven on earth. That's where God put the man, in his presence. And that's why you can't find Eden on the map. So Eden is not a place. It's an environment. It's an atmosphere. It is the presence of God. So when man sinned, when he messed up, when he missed the mark, God drove him out from the garden or the atmosphere of God, but more importantly, out of his presence. So here's point number one. The first thing God gave man was his presence, or Eden, not a woman. I think that's important for me to say to you again. The first thing God gave man was his presence, or Eden, not a woman. So that should not be our first thing that we connect to, my brothers, is women. The first thing a man should connect to is the presence of God, because you and I were made for his presence. The most important thing that a man needs is the presence of God. And I would tell you, I didn't know this when I was 16. I didn't know this when I was 18. I had no idea of this in my 20s, really. I was coming into trying to understand, but I didn't fully have that connection to really discern that I was made for the presence of God. This is why God created me. He created me for fellowship. It was this same God who would come down in the cool of the day and spend time with Adam. And so I think it's so important that we really get our ducks in a row, not major and minor things, but understand that God, first of all, created me for his presence. And when we understand that, we won't bargain with that. We won't play around with the presence of God. We will make God's presence a priority in our lives. And so if you didn't know this, you might, again, want to write this down, because this is something that you want to roll over into your spirit, man. Wash all the other things or ideas that you believe why God created you, didn't create you for money and all of this stuff. And we know money has its place, but you can get all the money you need, all the provisions you need if you know God, if you spend time with the Father and really make him number one in your life. There's no good thing that he will withhold from you if you walk up right before him. So woman, let me say this to you. When you meet a man, you should meet him in the presence of God. I'm going to say that again. Ladies everywhere, check this out. When you meet a man, because I know you can meet him at a mall, you can meet him here, you can meet him there, you can meet him everywhere. But really, when you meet a man, the first thing about this brother that you really need to discern and know that this guy loves God. He really loves him with all of his heart. It's just not something that he's saying. It's something that he's doing. So if you can watch what he's doing, actions speak louder than words, because man was created for the presence of God. And Eve met Adam in the presence of God. So that was the profound connection. And a lot of ladies are being duped all the time because he might have a nice car, might have a nice job, he might have this or that. But does this brother love God? And you're not going to know that on the first date. You're not going to know that the first time you meet him. I often say it, when you meet anybody, you meet their representative first. And then over time, you meet the real person. So you got to continue to keep your eyes open and say, you know what? Does this man really love God? Does he love spending time in his presence? Does he love praying and connecting and worshiping and fellowshipping with the Father? When a man knows that, he knows his assignment. He understands that God has created him for fellowship, and time spent with him is going to help him guide our family, a potential family. It's going to help him be that father, that mentor, that man of God, as it were, that this world needs beyond a shadow of a doubt. All right, that's point number one. Point number two is, well, the next thing that happened is that God gave to man a certain thing that he wanted him to do in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So this is indicative of work. God gave man a job. He gave him something to do. Before he gave him a woman, he gave him a job. So my brother, you know this as well as I do. Men need work. We need a job. But our assignments come from God. So yes, we need a secular way that we can take care of our families, a way that we can do what we need to do to provide for those that are under our care. But I think it's so important that we just don't speed by this, because we have a lot of brothers who are unemployed. But I want to tell you, your first employer is God. He will tell you what your job is, and he will help you find your place. So check this out. You could be making $100,000, but that don't mean that you're doing God's work, right? Because a lot of men find solace and we're able to stick our chest out by virtue of what we do. But what you're doing is not what you are. So God is saying, when you get in my presence, I'm going to give you your work and I'm going to give you your assignment. I think it's important that we should know that Adam didn't go out looking for a job. He stayed in the presence of God, and then God found his employment. He said, this is what I'm going to do for you, Adam. I'm going to put you in the Garden of Eden, and I want you to dress it. I want you to keep it. I want you to do the necessary things that's important for me to be able to trust you. And again, you'll find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. So work before woman. Write that down, my brothers. Say it to yourself. Work before woman. Knowing your assignment before you take on a woman is important, because that woman is trying to come up under your leadership. And if you don't know what your assignment is, she's not going to feel comfortable coming under your leadership. And that's where the war and the fight begin. We're trying to find this stuff after we get married, after we connect with a woman. And then we have kids, and now we're bringing children into a dysfunctional situation. So we've got to understand the order of God. God has always been a God of order. Nobody would put 50 Cent in a pop machine, a soda machine that says out of order. So God is not going to put his best in you and help you to see some things if you're out of order. So we got to bring it in, get it in order. So work before woman. And God was very clear about what he wanted. There was no ambiguity, no confusion there. God knew exactly, systematically, what he wanted to do, what he was trying to do. So we've got to, again, get in God's syncopation, get in his steps, so we can see the things that are necessary if we're going to be that man to those that are around us. Point number three, he told the man, check this out, to cultivate. Write that down. Cultivate, cultivation. To bring out the best in everything around you. That's our assignment as a man. To bring out the best, the very best, the excellent, the creme de la creme, right? We've got to bring out the best of everything and everyone around us that comes into contact with us. So everybody that's around you, that's coming into contact with you on a day-to-day basis, God is saying, especially for those that are under your care, you ought to be bringing the best out of them, not the worst out of them. You should be bringing the best out of your children, out of your wives, your significant others, people that you are mentoring. They ought to be able to say when they come in contact with you that you're going to help them to become their best. Watch this, because you are operating in your best. So we've got to maximize everything around us, be fruitful and multiply. So God doesn't finish, or should I say, God doesn't give a man a finished woman. That's important for you to understand too. Sometimes we want things to be finished when God gives it to us. But no, no, no. When God gives you a woman, she's not finished. God is giving that woman to you so you can help her to become what she needs to be. Oh, that's important. God says, I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you my daughter. And I'm giving her to you because I'm giving you the plan. And so you got to work on and work out of her all of the things that's inside. But again, this makes no sense if you're still trying to find your way. And we got a lot of brothers who still trying to find out what they're supposed to be doing. That's okay when you 12 and 13. That's okay even if you 19 years old. But once you get into your 20s, after 25, into your 30s, you should have some idea of what your assignment is in the things of God. So man was created by God. So the man must create the woman he wants because she's not going to be a finished product. You may have never heard this before, but it is true. God says, I put creativity inside of you. I believe it was Adam that named all the animals. That wasn't God that did that. That was Adam that called out every animal and gave it its name. So that ought to tell you how powerful and profound you are in the plan of God. Because whatever you call something, it will be. So whatever you call your children, that's what they will be. Whatever you call the woman in your life, that's what she will be, because our words have power because they are coming from an almighty God. So watch what you say out of your mouth when you are frustrated, my brother, because we get frustrated and we get angry all the time and we say stuff that we regret. But once you say it out of your mouth, you can't take it back. That word got power. It's got momentum. So calm down and relax. And when you speak, speak with authority. When you speak, speak like you know what you're talking about. When you speak, speak in an encouraging way. Give instructions to help people find what they need to find. And I want to go back again to what I said in the early part of the show, that you have got to spend time in the presence of God. This is where we get our confidence. We can't get our confidence from the world. We cannot get our confidence from things that are going on around us. We get our confidence from God. So you must take it out of your mind and create the woman you want. Jesus is a real man and he has a bride. And notice what he named her. The church or the ecclesia, meaning the called out ones. So notice that God said, love your wife like I love my wife. God would never tell you to do something he's not doing. God loves the church. He says you should wash her with the word, then remove every spot, every wrinkle, every blemish, and present her to yourself. And you can see this in Ephesians 5, 25 through 26. Read that when you get an opportunity. So when you see what you created, you can be proud and say, I did that. I said that. You see a woman that you take on to be a wife, you can speak into her life and tell her what she can be. Because she may be coming from a situation where she had no father. Maybe she didn't have any uncles or a man in her life to encourage her and help her to see what her purpose and destiny is with you. But if you spend time with God and he's helping you, you can help your wife. You can help your future wife. You can help your children because they need direction and they are looking to their life source in terms of that man representing God on the earth. So if you don't like what you see, then cultivate what you don't like. So if you don't like it, cultivate it. Don't complain. Don't murmur. We got a lot of brothers who are murmuring and complaining. God has not given us the spirit of murmuring and complaining. We are creators. Say that to yourself. I am a creator. Because God created you in his image, and whatever God created in his image and in his likeness, we can do what he's doing. We just got to believe it and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am just not like every man that is walking on the planet. I don't think I'm better than anybody. You shouldn't think that. But when you got revelation and insight about what God has made you to be, God is calling you and causing you to want to be responsible. We need some responsible brothers out here. All right. So cultivate that thing. If your wife or significant other has gained some weight, then work out with her. I know women everywhere loving that because we can complain about how our significant other is looking. But I want you to know it's more important to her that you are doing some things with her because that says that you care. So if you don't like her wardrobe, take her shopping and pay for it. That's right. Take her shopping and pay for it. If her hair and her nails are a mess, don't complain about that. Go and give her the money and say, baby, get those nails done. Get that hair done. You deserve the best. Why? Because this is your bride. And God takes care of us as his bride. We must take care of our wives and our daughters, my brothers, because these are gifts and treasures from the Father himself. And we don't want to mess over a gift, because when you mess over God's daughters, he's not going to be happy with you and I. So I want to challenge you today to get back in your rightful place and speak truth to power and know that whatever God has commanded you and I to do, he's got the provisions. He's got the resources. You may feel like I don't have enough money to take my wife and give her a makeover, or take my wife and get her hair and nails done. This is where we must depend on the provision of God. Because I get it. I understand it. You know, we're so busy trying to make sure that our families have roofs over their head and food to eat and clothes on their back and things of that nature. And that is important. But I want to tell you, God wants you to do something special for the people in your life. And you can. Spending time in the presence of God will help God funnel those resources to you so you can be good to the people that you love the most. Point number five, God said, guard the garden, protect it. So the man is supposed to protect everything under his care, He's supposed to protect it. I want to say this to you. That's not God's job. That's your job. When God gave man a job, he said, this is what you are supposed to do. So we need to check in with our boss every day and get new instructions, especially if the game plan has changed. How do you know what God is up to if you're not spending any time with God? I always give basketball analogies when I'm talking to people because I really love the game. When a team is just beating the brakes off of another team, a good coach will call a timeout. And just not encourage, but he'll look on his bench and see, who can I bring in and switch up the game plan so that I can fool my opponent and get a leg up? This is what we got to do. When life is beating us up and beating up our family, we got to stop doing the same old dumb things we've been doing. We got to say, you know what, God, I'm getting beat up. My family is getting beat up. It's not your fault. It's my fault. So let me see what instructions, what new things I don't know that you can tell me in real live time, because the enemy is beating me up now. Just make that little adjustment. Not be prideful and arrogant and think, well, I'm just going to work on this myself. No, we're losing time and we're losing the respect of our family. And so we got to say, you know what, God, whatever new thing you want to do, even though I've never done it, I don't even know how to do it. But if you'll just speak to my heart and tell me how to do what I need to do, then I'll put this plan together and destroy the enemy. And that's why you're stronger and have bigger muscle mass. Not to abuse your wife or your daughters or even your sons, but your job is to protect. And I lament the fact, man, that we got men who beat up on women. No, that is not our assignment. We should never beat up on women. Now, women should never put their hands on man, but a man should never put his hands on a woman. I'm old school like that. Everybody ought to keep their hands to themselves, but especially men We got to protect. We got to guard. We got to cover. We got to be that husband, that band around that house, right? So our wives and our daughters can feel safe when they're with us. If they have nowhere else to go, they ought to be able to lean on us. So I want to really say to you, if you've ever put your hand on a woman out of frustration, no, you can't do that, man. That is not what God has called you to do. You got to be there to protect your family and your wives and your daughters from the blows that are coming from everywhere. And you can. So don't have a panic attack, anxiety attack. Allow that anointing, the fire of God, that lion of Judah, let that lion roar in you and protect and cover everybody that is in your care. This is our assignment. And if we're not doing it, we are failing as men. Man, where are you? Point number five, God gave the man his word. God said to Adam, don't touch the tree, period. Point blank. No confusion there. So Adam couldn't say, I didn't understand. No, he understood. He just disobeyed. When God is speaking to us, my brothers, we must stand at attention and hear clearly the command in terms of what he's saying. We've got to always know what is his and what he has given us. We are always stewards. We are never owners. And so God said to him, don't touch the tree. God never gave that command to the woman. And many times men want to blame their wives. They want to blame the woman, but she cannot get any blame. As a matter of fact, when God came looking, he wanted to find Adam. Adam, where are you? Because I already told you, I already gave you the command. I already told you what you could touch and what was yours. And you touch what was mine. You allow yourself to do something that was not good. You allowed yourself to partake of something that you knew was mine. And so when we do this, we get out of order with God. But the good thing about it is that because we're under grace, we can ask for forgiveness and get back in our rightful place. So we have to have humility of heart and say, Lord, I messed up. I touched something that was not mine. I did something that I shouldn't have done, and I'm not going to hide behind it because real men don't make excuses. Let me say that again. Real men don't make excuses. We own it. We say, I messed up. I did it. I always said, if you bad enough to do it, be bad enough to say, you know what? I'm going to take onus and responsibility for this, and I'm going to make it right. And we need more men to own it and say, hey, I wasn't the father I needed to be, but allow me back into your life. We need to say to our wives when we mess up, I was not the husband, the provider I needed to be. Allow me to make amends for this. And for the wives that are listening to me, allow your husband to do it. Don't keep bringing up what he did. If he repented and he's getting on the right track, encourage that. Allow him, especially single women that have these baby daddies, you know, in your life and they messed up. And they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And you're trying to keep their kids from them. Don't do that. You messing your kids up. You are trying to punish that guy for what he did to you. But at some point, he was good to you. At some point, you liked him enough to have a baby with him. Don't be immature. Allow him back in and allow him to be a father. Because if you don't, you're going to see that son or daughter grow up and then they're going to be mad with you because you didn't allow their dad to be one in their life. God said, don't touch what is mine. For a reason, it's mine. And that means the man was the only one who had the word from God. God says, I know who I'm talking to. Could God have spoken to the woman? Sure, but that's not the order of God. And we have to be okay with that. God says, I'm giving my plan, my command to the man. And I want this man to execute fully what I said. And when we don't do it, things really get out of control very fast. So the man's job was to teach his wife the word of God. This is old school, and I know a lot of women may not like this, but it's just the word of God. Don't get mad at the messenger. And you can read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 35. And some people say, oh, that's just, you know, that was just in their day. But I'll say this to you, that because God never changes, sure, we need to read things and interpret it properly. And that does not mean that women cannot study the Word of God and they cannot get the Word of God for themselves. But in a family structure, in a family dynamic where there's a man there, a husband, a father, God does not want the lines to be confused. So when God is speaking to the man that's the head of his household, he wants that word that he has given that man in the presence of God to be released to the wife and the children. And this is what makes a family. Everybody talking is going to confuse the house, right? We got all of these chiefs, but we got to have some followers. And so this is why God is saying, I'm giving my plan to the man. And when that happens, I'm telling you, there's a flow, there's a power, there's an anointing released in the house. So the problem is the woman knows more word than the man. That's the real issue. And I cannot blame women for stepping up and doing things, because I'm going to tell you something. These women just not going to sit up and just let the boat go down. They're too smart. They're too beautiful. They're too innovative for that. They're not going to do it. I cannot blame a woman to say, hey, he not going to work, I got to go get a job. He not going to pray, I got to pray. He not going to take care of the kids, I got to do it. So shame on us men for getting mad at women in our lives for doing the things we should be doing. God is saying, get back in your place. Get back in the presence of God. Get back where I told you to be. And when you do this, I'm telling you, you're going to see the favor of God, because your wife is waiting for you. God is waiting for you. We waiting for you, man. You can do it. I want to encourage you. Maybe you didn't have a father in your life to push you and have an example, but God is your father, right? He's your father. He will teach you. He will show you how to be what you've never seen. And that's an issue in our world, that we're trying to do something we've never seen. But I'm telling you, God can touch your mind. He can touch your heart and help you and give you the desire to do it. So we cannot allow our wives, our women in our life, to know more word than we do. This is not a competition. This is just position. This is order. They're looking to us, and we can't always look back at them and say, well, this is your job. No, this is our job. Don't forfeit your position in Christ. One of the things, again, that frustrates a woman is when she asks her man, what do you think? And he says, what do you think? And so she says, no, I want to know, well, what do you think about what we should do about the bills? And then he says, well, what do you think we should do? No, that is frustrating your woman. She's looking for knowledge when she's asking you these questions. She's looking for direction. So one of the things that you need to learn to do, that I had to learn to do, when my wife would come to me about, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? Instead of being frustrated and saying she's nagging me to death, just be honest and say, I don't know. You could say that. Say, I don't know, but I'm going to go to Eden and spend time in the atmosphere of God. And when I come out of Eden, when I come out of the atmosphere of God, the Lord is going to talk to me. And I assure you, he's going to give me a plan. When you tell your wife that, she got nothing else to say. As a matter of fact, she's going to be happy. She's going to be hilariously full of joy. Come on, because you are giving direction. You are telling your family, you're telling your wife what the plan is. It's too many brothers out here that don't have a plan. And let me say this, hope is not a plan. Someday in the sweet by and by is not a plan. Hold on, things are going to change is not a plan. Allow the Spirit of God to give you something concrete. That's what he will do for you. He will give you something concrete and something that you can do. And when you come out of the presence of God, tell your wife, tell your family what the plan is, and assure them that God said everything gonna be all right. And you may be nervous the first few times you do it, because you're probably trying to figure out, did God even tell you? But God is for you. I'm gonna say that to you again. God is for you. He don't want your family to go down. He don't want you to live in poverty. He don't want you to live in a place where you always frustrated and angry and mad at everybody. No, God is your Father. He loves you. Let Him lead you and allow Him to flow through you, heaven's best, to the people that are looking to you. Here's the last thing I'm going to say to you. The last command He gave the man was, don't touch the tree. We talked about that in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. But in verse 18, God says, it is not good for the man to be alone or be by himself. So what man is God talking about? Miles Monroe said it like this. I really love the late, great Miles Monroe. Here's what he said. Number one, the man that's in God's presence. Number two, the man that has a job. Number three, the man that's cultivating you. Number four, the man that's protecting you. And number five, the man that's teaching you the word of God. That's the man that shouldn't be by himself. Ladies, if you meet a man that can't do this, that man should be alone. He should be by himself. But that man that's doing these five things, the Bible says it's not good for that man to be by himself, because he has something profound to give to you. He has something of power and of value that he wants to give to you. That's the man you want to be with. And that's the man that makes the heart of God leap. I really do believe that if we step up and step in to what God has for our life, we're going to see the world change. But more than anything else, we're going to see our families change. My brother, I want to pray for you, because I believe God got his hand on your life and he wants to see you do what everybody else said you couldn't do. Maybe everybody is counting you out. Maybe you feel discouraged, but I want to pray for you so that the power of God and the hand of God would be on your life like never before. Father, I lift up these men everywhere. We are under attack every second, every minute of the day. I ask you that you would protect this man. I ask you that you would give him your word, your promise. I ask that he would return back to Eden, back to the presence of God where the worship and the fellowship is, that he would return back to his first love. Maybe he just doesn't know how to get back, but Lord, you will help him. If he will humble himself under the mighty hand of God, you will help him get back to the place he needs to be. I'm praying for his strength. I'm praying for his mind. I'm praying for everything that surrounds him on a day-to-day basis. I thank you that there's a champion inside of him. I rebuke doubt. I rebuke fear. I rebuke the spirit of excuse making. I thank you that today he's going to see this in a whole new and living way, that he's going to live in your presence, that he's going to see the power of God in his life and everything he touches and the people that he encourages, they are going to get strength from this man. You would have never commanded us to do this, God, if we couldn't do it. We can't do it without you. We need you. So I lift up and bless every man that will listen to this podcast. You are somebody great in God. God has his hand on your life. I bless the work of your hand. The assignment that God has given you is not small. It's big in the eyesight of God. And he has chosen you to lead your family. He has chosen you to raise your kids. And I command that you do it. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. And thank God. Well, listen, I hope that you got something out of what I tried to share today. I shared it from my heart. I pray that it blessed you beyond a shadow of a doubt. Listen, I know how tough it is being a man out here, but I'm telling you, God has some good things in store for you. I want you to shoot me an email if this blessed you at info@thomasadeloach.com. My brother, you can always go to my website at www.thomasadeloach.com. Check it out. See what we have there. I pray that it will encourage you. I'm praying for everybody that you will have a great week, that you will have a week of strength, you have a week of power, that you will have a week of miracles. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. I'll talk to you again at a later time. Peace to the family. Thank you for listening to my show, To Empower You. If you were blessed, inspired, and encouraged, please send me a praise report, prayer request, or show ideas to info@thomasadeloach.com. And follow me on Instagram at Thomas A. Deloach and Facebook at Dr. Thomas A. Deloach. And remember, you can go to my website anytime at www.thomasadeloach.com. Until next time, be empowered.